Paul and I will be covering Psalm 91 for four Sundays. We're going to do two this month, and then we're going to save and enjoy these last two in the month of October. And you'll see the reasoning and the rationale for that as it unfolds. Psalm 91 is, I think, such a perfect psalm because it's a self-help psalm. It's one that you can go to when you're really struggling or you need an answer to prayer, or you need some thoughts from God, but it's also perfect for others. In fact, Psalm 91 has been called the soldier's prayer due to its protection promised. And in that way, it can be a self-help prayer. Yeah. Psalm 91 has also been used as an intercessory prayer. So it's also, as we stated, a prayer for others. So whether praying for servicemen or servicewomen, whether praying for loved ones, for neighbors, for our families, Psalms 91 is by all means a praying poem, a praying psalm. Now we use two resources. We use a number of biblical commentaries for the services and the message, as well as the book that's entitled Psalm 91, and it's compiled by two women. The first woman has three first names. Now we know a lot of people carry two first names, like Paul Thomas, but we have this book that's published by Peggy Joyce Ruth. That is her name. Psalm 91, we love it, we love it, we love it, because it celebrates and it declares God as our protector during times of danger. Now, God doesn't promise us a world free from danger, but he does promise his help as we face danger. So this is a poem or a picture that should depict our trust in the Almighty God, a trust that trades our fears for faith.
Now let us turn to Scripture to focus on the first two verses of Psalm 91. Verse 1 reads, "He who dwells in the shadow of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Our Heavenly Father, our secret place, is a place of refuge that evil cannot reach. Dwelling in the shelter of the Most High is the Old Testament's way of teaching faith by showing a personal relationship with God. Man has no innate built-in shelter. Alone, we stand unsheltered against the elements, and we must run to the shelter. God offers us more than shelter. He rolls out the hospitality mat and personally invites us in.
The secret place is conditional. God lists in the psalm our part of the condition before he ever mentions his promises that he will include on his part. And that's because our part must come first. So to abide in the shadow of the Almighty, we must first choose to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. To dwell means to live in, right? To go to. And it also means to make the time for. So I ask you, where is your secret place? Where do you go to meet God? Is it a room? Is it a time of day? Is it a walk at a favorite place? Is it as you're listening to music? Or is it a hands-on activity, as with wood carving? Either way, it is a choice that we make.
Verse 2 says, "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." The phrase, "I will say," is future affirmative tense. Cheryl knows that. I was social studies. It is seen in Isaiah 43. And Isaiah 43 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." We must learn to verbalize our trust in God. We should answer back to God with assurance. Echo his future affirmative voice. There is power in saying his word back to him. As with David and Joshua, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, declare their confessions of faith aloud in and during dangerous situations. In essence, when it is D-Day, not back in 1944, but now, those are dangerous days, D-Days. We declare.
Too often we mentally think about something and we think something is true, but we don't necessarily act upon it. By saying it aloud, we are acting upon what we believe to be true. Now, if you are a believer, as I am, in spiritual warfare, then you may relate to this. It is said that Satan cannot read our thoughts because he didn't create us. But he hears our words and he sees our actions. Thus, when we think God is our refuge, but we never say it, Satan never hears the confession and continues to play upon us. But if we say it at the name of Jesus, Satan will flee. Note the power of the spoken confession. In the second verse, we see the word "my" not once, not twice, but three times. The psalm declares, "God is my refuge, my fortress, and my God."
The words "refuge" and "fortress" also signify a military stance, a defensive site against all invading enemies. God is our personal protection. Also, this is why God as our shepherd is so powerful. As shepherd, we know that he carries a rod and staff to protect the sheep. The shepherd's presence is also imperative because sheep have no built-in protection. We're not scared of sheep with long fangs and teeth. We're not scared of them emitting an odor like a skunk. No, they don't have anything. Repeating the word back to God is a powerful tool. It is not a magic wand. But God's word is alive and it's active. It speaks truth and speaks life to our souls. And that is why Joyce Meyer and Beth Moore in particular teach us to pray through the Word. Psalm 1 says to meditate on the Word. Let it soak in. Let's read Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3. "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees which are planted by streams of living water." Memorize the words. Say them aloud. Since our focus is on prayer for this month, Psalm 91 is a perfect example of how we can take a few lines of God's words, focus on them, pray over them, and proclaim them. And that is why watching what comes out of our mouth, especially in times of trouble, is imperative. Cursing does nothing to advance God. It does not speak of life.
Furthermore, by saying, "I will," makes it our responsibility. It is our responsibility to speak life to others around us. It is our responsibility to proclaim confidence in God's word. Let me share with you a personal story. In my latter part of my 20s, I had many dark days and I had many dark years. And I lived in fear as a single parent. Now keep in mind, I was raised in a Christian home. I attended a Christian college. I earned a degree. I had employment. However, when you walk through any of the three big D's, death, divorce, or major disaster, when you walk through those fires, you can't help but live with an element of fear. And especially when you're younger, when you haven't walked through the fires before. Life tends to pull the rug out from underneath us, and we are often left feeling isolated and completely alone. Now, during those months and during those years of fear, of being afraid of not being able to provide for my child, afraid that I wouldn't have a home by the end of the week or be able to clothe even my toddler, the Bible is full of miracles, but they were miracles that happened a long time ago. What I needed in my life right then and right there was assurance that God was alive and working miracles today with people just like me. I needed to know that. I needed to know that. The stories, as you know, in Guideposts are quick reads. They can be read on the run, or as I was sitting in the doctor's office, I could absorb a few. Or I could take the time, stick it in my purse, and I could read a few stories over and over, those that really meant something to me. So even though I couldn't find the power in my own life at that time, these stories gave me hope. Hope that someday I too would experience the hope and joy of answered prayer. And I clung to that hope. I clung to Guideposts. Now, I believe everyone has his or her own lifeboat, and I wish I had known the power of Psalm 91 during those years. I think it would have made a difference. I think it would have been a solace for my life, and I think those D-days would have turned into deliverance days. Now, I did see the glory of God, and I did see the deliverance, but I had to walk through many months and many years of darkness before I got there. So this poem, this psalm, may end up being a solace for you. I encourage you to post that half sheet of paper on that lilac paper. I encourage you to put that bulletin insert on a mirror. Or I encourage you to give it to a friend, someone who needs encouragement in his or her life. Say this psalm aloud as heavenly protection for yourself, for your loved ones, and for those who have unspoken requests of prayer. And I encourage you to pray aloud. Read it aloud. In the privacy of your home, don't think it's silly to say it aloud. Don't we say plenty of other things aloud? So we need to claim his promises. We need to claim our children. We need to claim our grandchildren. We need to claim our neighbors. We need to claim those who are struggling. And we need to say it aloud in the name of the Lord. We need to cover them with prayer.
There's a true account from the book that Cheryl's been referring to, the book entitled Psalm 91. Question for you. How many of you have heard of Flight 1549 that went down in the Hudson River, piloted by Captain Chelsea Sullenberger, January 15th of 2009. How many have heard of that? Question two. How may have seen the movie concerning this called Sully, starring Tom Hanks. This well-known account talks about when a flock of Canadian geese fly right into the engine of a plane that was immediately taking off. Only this account isn't from the pilot, Sully. This is from another individual. Actually, it's a point of view of one of the mothers of one of the passengers that day. This is what the mother said. My youngest son, Andrew, had just recently returned from his second tour of duty in Afghanistan. This last one had been one of those long 15-month tours. And he had served 12 months in Afghanistan prior to that, with a year break in between. I spent many hours praying protection over him, said the mother. Psalm 91 became particularly meaningful to me, and I prayed it over him daily. I would pray, God will deliver him from the snare of the fowler. And he will give his angels charge over him to guard him in all of his ways.
Now Andrew's mother continues. She states that Andrew wanted to celebrate his return to civilian life with a trip to New York for his fiance's birthday. And we, my husband and I, were to pick Andrew up at the airport the evening of that January 15th. The phone rang. It was Andrew calling. He started the conversation with, "I'm all right." Then he proceeded to tell us to turn on the TV for the news of the Flight 1549 crash into the Hudson River. When he called again, he told us that he and Stephanie, his fiancée, had been on the right wing of the plane, which had been sinking. They had stepped out into the frigid water up to their ankles, and it wasn't long before the water was knee-deep. They were being pushed farther and farther to the tip of the wing as many passengers came out of the emergency hatch.
Later, as Andrew recalled the events of the day, he said that he knew that they were in trouble when they heard a loud pop and they saw smoke coming out of the engine. And then he realized there's a strange silence. That's not good when you're in a plane. The normal hum of the engines was not heard. When the pilot came over the intercom telling them to prepare for impact, Andrew knew that they were going down. He and Stephanie had time to hug one another and tell each other how much they loved one another before impact. And Andrew thought in his mind, I made it through two deployments in Afghanistan, and this is how it's going to end? By the grace of God and the experience of a very skilled pilot, the Hudson River served as a landing strip. We as a family marveled after it was all over. What a miracle it was! How God was all over that event. How God had placed Sully as the pilot that day, and how the Hudson River was devoid of its normal hustle and bustle of ferries and barges and boats. How the plane stayed in one piece and stayed afloat for all 155 passengers to be rescued. How firmly their feet remained planted, even though the wing was a very slippery slope.
Andrew's mother, she asked herself, now, could it be that all the prayers, particularly the protection prayer of Psalm 91, that I prayed over Andrew while he was deployed during those long duties of service, did they continue to protect him? And she believes, absolutely, because his protection was evident. In fact, Andrew himself doesn't believe Sully was the pilot that day, rather the co-pilot. Andrew believes that God was the pilot that day. Now, Andrew's mother continues, our faithfulness in claiming God's word and praying those words back to him carries over into our daily lives, whether we are praying them for daily comfort, for strength, or for protection, or simply praying them through a difficult time. God was with our son Andrew, both in Afghanistan and on that plane. Truly, God's word is true. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust.